نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واذا قيل لهم امنوا كما امن الناس قالوا انؤمن كما امن السفهاء الا انهم هم السفهاء ولكن لا يعلمون وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله الله في اصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن احبهم فبحبي احبهم ومن ابغضهم فببغضي ابغضهم وخير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected elders and friends, brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speak about the sahaba, the illustrious great companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the various places in the Quran Kareem. In some places, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala regard them to be a measure of iman. In some places, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speak about the loyalty of the sahaba. In some places of the Quran Kareem, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about their attitude with the fellow believers and the attitude with the disbelievers. In some verses of the Quran Kareem, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speak about how happy, how pleased Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala with the sahaba. In one verse of the Quran Kareem, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ. When it was told to the munafiqeen, most of them were Jews residing around Madinatul Munawwara. When it was told to them, bring iman, like how the people have brought iman. The people in this verse refer to the sahaba, because they were the ones that brought iman. So munafiqeen, they replied, أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا. It could refer to the munafiqeen, it could also refer to the mushrikeen. Should we bring iman like how, according to them, their thinking, their philosophy, should we bring iman like how the stupid people brought iman? They refer to a sahaba as sufaha, stupid people. So Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala refers to those people who refer to the sahaba as stupid, Allah innahum humus sufaha. Behold, most definitely those people who regard the sahaba as sufaha, as stupid, they themselves are stupid, walakin la ya'lamun, but they do not know. In this verse, the ulama have stated that it's clear that the sahaba, they are a measure of iman. Otherwise, why would Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala say, bring iman like how the sahaba brought iman? That means that the iman of the sahaba is accepted in the sight of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and Allah used the iman of the sahaba as a measure for other people to bring iman. In one ayat of the Quran Kareem, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَصَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about the Sulayh Hudaybiyah, when the companion of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the bay'at, took an allegiance on the hand of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to revenge and avenge the blood of Osman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when a rumor spread that Osman radiallahu ta'ala anhu has been killed. So they all took bay'at, allegiance on the hand of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were prepared for their wives to become widows. They were prepared for their children to become orphans. They were prepared to do everything to uphold the truth and the haqq. That was the level of the iman. So Allah says, Allah is happy with them. In another verse of the Quran Kareem, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the Rasul of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ Those people that were with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam referring to as Sahaba. Few qualities have been mentioned. Ashiddaw alal kuffar. They are firm on the kuffar. Ruhama'u baynahum. And among themselves with their fellow colleagues, with the Muslims, they are very soft, loving, compassionate, considerate. Tarahum rukka'an sujjada. Then you would see them all the time engaged in ruku, in sujood. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. They are those people who all the time, in every aspect of their life, they seek the fadl and the grace of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِّنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ. You can make out the sign of their truthfulness, the sign of their commitment, their devotion, their sincerity, just through their foreheads. Like that, many, many ayats of the Qur'an al-Kareem speak and expounding of the great virtue of the Sahaba. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also spoke about the Sahaba. Allah, Allah fi ashabi. Be careful. Fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala regarding my Sahaba. La tattakhiduhum gharadam min ba'di. Don't make them an object of criticism after I leave this world. فَمَنْ أَحَبَّهُمْ فَبِحُبِّ أَحَبَّهُمْ. When anybody loves the Sahaba, it's only because that person loves me. So loving the Sahaba is actually an expression of the love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Those people who claim that they love Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam while they don't love the Sahaba, then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has disregarded them. You can't be claiming that you love the Rasul of Allah when you don't love the Sahaba, when you hate the Sahaba. وَمَنْ أَبْغَدَهُمْ. And anybody that hates the Sahaba is because they hate me. So any person who claims that they love Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are ashik of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they make derogative statements against the Sahaba, then in the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they actually hate me. In spite of their claim loving Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they actually hate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Most respected elders and friends, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has very clearly mentioned, when you hear somebody speaking bad and ill about the Sahaba, then openly, clearly go and tell to them, La'natullahi ala sharrikum. May Allah's curse, may Allah's la'nat be upon your sharr and upon your evil. And in fact, the directive that comes to us in the Quran al-Kareem, how we should respond to a Sahaba and our pious predecessors. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. Allah speak about the Muhajirin, Allah speak about the Ansar. And then, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. Those people that come after the Muhajirin and Ansar, that entire ummah after that, they are deeply indebted to the Sahaba, whether they were the Muhajirin, whether they were Ansar. And when we hear anything about them, maybe from the historical point of view, maybe some decision that were made, so we simply say, رَبَّنَا فِلَّنَا وَالْإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Oh Allah, forgive them. Overlook them. And, oh Allah, make us among those people that love them. That's the type of dua we should be making. Not that you just follow blindly and you hear somebody condemning the Sahaba, present some political reasons for that, and then you blindly follow and then you start hating the Sahaba. If a person hates the Sahaba, he risks his iman. Now what I want to mention today, Sahaba were human beings. They also had great responsibilities. Some of them, they were fathers. Some of them were husbands. They also had families. They had brothers, they had sisters, they had friends, they had associates. They had great responsibility. They also had to earn an income. Now, in spite of all that, the different responsibilities that were on the head, in fulfilling their responsibilities, what did they do? And how they carried out their responsibilities? Now, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, in the first volume, in the chapter of business and economics, he presents the Sahaba. That some of them, they were jewelers. Among the Sahaba, there were people who were blacksmiths. Among the Sahaba, there were people that were carpenters. Among the Sahaba, there were people that used to sell itar and fragrance. Among the Sahaba, there were certain people that were cattle farmers. Among the Sahaba, there were certain people that used to be in agriculture. So whatever we find in our economy and whatever different professions and skills we find among the Sahaba, they were tailors. Different type of Sahaba, they were in different type of skills and professions. So in spite of them being in the different skills, professions, earning an income, what was their mindset when they were there? So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi presents various ahadiths, and I've got a copy of some of these ahadiths that I want to share with you. Very, very interesting. In one place, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi mentions Babu Zikri al-Qayni wal-Haddad. That the discussion is about blacksmiths. Now the hadith goes about Khabbab ibn Arith radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Khabbab ibn Arith radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a sahabi that accepted Islam in a very early stage of Islam. Great amount of sacrifices he had made. Once Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked him, "Oh Khabbab, tell me of your sacrifices in Islam." So Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala lifted up his garment from the back on the upper part and he saw deep, deep scars on it. Great, great amount of sacrifice they have made. It is unfortunate that when we hear about the Sahaba, then some people only look at the negative, they don't look at the sacrifices and the qurbani that they have made. So Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, "Kuntu qaynan fil jahiliyyah." I was the person that used to practice blacksmithing in the time of jahiliyyah. "Wa kana li 'ala al-As ibn Wa'il daynun." As ibn Wa'il, one of the leaders of the kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah, he took some services from Khabbab ibn Arith, probably on blacksmithing. And he promised to pay Khabbab ibn Arith the service fee. So when Khabbab ibn Arith goes to him and asks him for the money, at that time Khabbab ibn Arith already accepted Islam. So he asks Asim ibn Wa'il, "Where's my money? I gave you service, so pay me for it." So Asim ibn Wa'il told him, "La u'tika hatta takfura bi Muhammad." I will never pay you your money, your fees, until you don't deny and reject Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now look at it. On one side, it's a financial right belonging to Khabbab. He provided a service. And here, Asim ibn Wa'il is holding him hostage and saying him, blackmailing him, that you want your money, then you must deny Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reject him. Now look at the iman of the Sahaba. It was his money. He could do whatever he wanted to get his money out. But he immediately says, "La akfur hatta yumitaka Allah thumma tub'ath." I will never ever make kufr and reject Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Allah give you death and Allah resurrect you on the day of Qiyamah. Now the kuffar of Makkah, they didn't believe in the concept of life after death. They didn't believe in resurrection and accountability in the court of Allah. So on that, Asim ibn Wa'il made a mockery of this concept. And he said, "Da'ni hatta amut wa ubas." Leave me until I die, and then I'll be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, as you say, and they, Almighty Allah will give me, according to what you say, malan wa walada. Allah will give me wealth, Allah will give me everything, I'll pay you the wealth there. The point here is, look at it, the mindset of a Sahabi. He's in a business world. He is a creditor, so to say, making demand from the debtor. The debtor is not paying him, but and telling him that you want payment, compromise on your iman, on your values. They were prepared to leave the dunya, but they weren't prepared to compromise on the iman and the values. Another instance, Babu Zikr al-Khayyat, a sahabi being a tailor. The Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala says, "Zahabtu ma'a Rasulillah sallallahu, inna khayyatan da'a Rasulillah lita'amin sana'a." One tailor, sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he invited Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now it was sahaba, for them it was a great honor that to invite Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to their house. So this tailor invited Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his house. So Anas ibn Malik says, "Zahabtu ma'a Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ila dhalika ta'am." I also joined Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to that meal. "Faqarraba ila Rasulillahi khubzan wa barqan fihi dubba wa qadid." So I presented to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Khayyat, the tailor, he presented to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bread and curry. In that curry there was kaddu, calabash, and pieces of meat. So Anas radiallahu anhu says, رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتتبع الدباء من حوالي القصعة. I saw Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم observing Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم when he was eating and partaking of the meal. He was searching and looking for the small piece of kaddu, that calabash, and Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم was eating it. Searching for it and eating it. Now, look at the Sahabi's mindset. Anas radiallahu ta'ala wasn't fond of kaddu before this, of calabash. But he says, when I saw how Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was searching and eating that kaddu and that calabash with so much of liking and so much of enthusiasm, from then onwards, he says, فَلَمْ أَزَلْ أُحِبُّ الدُّبَّى مِنْ يَوْمَئِذٍ. From that day onwards, I started also liking kaddu and calabash. Now look at mindset of the Sahabi. How whatever Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم liked, they also liked it. Likewise, Babu Zikrin Nassaj. Nassaj is to weave clothing. Now, in this hadith, there's an incident mentioned that one woman, she weaved a clothing for Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم or a garment for Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. Very special garment. She presented it to Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم. One Sahabi that was there, he told Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, give me that garment. So Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم accepted. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم went, and that garment was already on Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, because after the woman gave it to him, Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم put it on, and that was the lower garment of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Sahabi requested, yes, give me that garment. So Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم went, changed, and he wrapped that garment that was given to him as a gift by that woman and gave it to the Sahabi. So other Sahaba started condemning him. You know, why did you ask Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, put that kind of pressure on Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم? You know how generous Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم is. He wouldn't refuse anybody, anyone, anything. Why did you make that request? You keep quiet, be considerate. So he said, this Sahabi mentioned, I had a reason why I asked this. I asked this garment because I fear the day I die, I wanted to use that garment that was on the Mubarak body of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for my kafan. For my kafan. And then the narrator of the hadith says, when that Sahabi, he passed away, that garment that touched the Mubarak body of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with the Sahabi secured, at that time, he actually used it as his kafan. See, the mindset, how the Sahaba used to think, and how they used to associate themselves. They were in the worldly field, but it wasn't like they were completely detached from the basic responsibilities. Likewise, just another hadith I will share, that Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were returning from Tabuk. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his camel was going very, very slow. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came from behind and asked him why your camel is going slow. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demounted from his camel and poked that camel, the camel of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So some kind of barakah came in there, as we would call it in motor vehicle terms, some kind of maybe fuel injection. And the camel started going so fast that Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu started saying that I had to pull that camel back so that it doesn't go in front of the camel of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Jabir, sell me that camel. So he bought the camel, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bought the camel. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala rode it till Madinatul Munawwara. Now when he came to deliver that camel to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, go read 2 rakat salat. You came in a masjid, go read 2 rakat salat. Then after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Hadha Bilal, take that money for that camel, go give it to Jabir. They gave the money to Jabir. After Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, you got your money, happy, you're fine, take the camel also and go. So Jabir radiallahu ta'ala himself is saying that there was nothing more detested to me than that issue. That I bought, Nabi Sallam bought the camel, gave me the money. Now, in spite of the money, Nabi Sallam even gave me the camel too. That means I got my camel and I got the money. How generous Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was. Now, and then there's another hadith that about Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'anhu. See that there was one person by the name of Nawas. He was selling camels. But there was one camel that had a defect. So he told his partner that anybody comes and buy this camel, then you must tell them about the defect. So it so happened Abdullah ibn Umar went to buy that camel. But the partner didn't tell him about the defect in that camel. So when Nawas came and asked the partner, what happened? See, the camel got sold. See, who bought it? Then he mentioned so and so person. So, oh, that is Abdullah ibn Umar. How can you deceive such a great personality? So he goes up to Abdullah ibn Umar and tells him, my partner sold you that camel. There was a defect in it and he didn't tell you about it. So let's do a dissolution in transaction, which we call it in terms of Sharia an iqala. Dissolution and transaction. So they were about to do the dissolution and transaction. Abdullah ibn Umar said, no problem. Just leave it out because I trust the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, la adwa wa la tiyarata fi Islam. There's no such thing as contagious diseases in Islam. Now from the medical point of view, you look at it in a different way, whether it is direct or whether it is indirect, but whatever happens, everything is with the will of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But here again, see the Sahaba's thinking that they wouldn't just do business for the sake of business. They were in the business field, but their minds were always were conscious by Allah, by with the command of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem about the Sahaba. We also in the business field. We also doing business, different skills, different professions. But Allah Ta'ala says, رِجَالُ اللَّهَ تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةُ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيْتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ Sahaba were such that in spite of them being in the business world, that their tijarat, their trade will never make them ghafil, will never make them unmindful of the zikr of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And they were such that although they were in the dunya, but their hearts, they were thinking about the day of Qiyamah and what will happen on the day of Qiyamah. So that's the type of mindset we're supposed to be having. Whilst we're in the business world, the dunya should not make us ghafil, should not make us unmindful of our basic responsibilities, and think about how the Sahaba were, what values they had. That's the type of values we should try to inculcate in us. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.